Let the work of this house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elder of the Jews build this house of God in his place. Moreover, I make a decree what ye shall do to the elders of these Jews for the building of this house of God, that the king's goods, even of the tribute beyond the river, wherever its expenses be given unto these men, that they be not hindered.
Just for a little bit, saints, we want to consider, as we go through here, and we're going to need your help because there's a lot to read, but much more to gain. But can you keep this thought in mind? It's time to get back to work. It's time to get back to work. Everyone who tries to reach something or attain to some measure of progress in life, no matter what your aspirations might be, most know that a lot of times those who have come to some renown or recognition, particularly with things that have been profitable and beneficial, have not come through unscathed by trouble. What I mean is, it's not always wasn't a clear path given to them, that they were impeded by people, circumstances, not enough resources, things that were out of their control, jealousy, amen, ways in which they were sought to keep them at bay so they could not attain their dreams and their aspirations. And then there's things that come within the purview of the things that life brings. And I say this, we don't mean in terms of some chance or fate. I don't believe in that, and neither do you if you're a child of God. Because we don't have a God of fate or chance. We have a God of providence who knows, amen, not only does he know the end from the beginning, but every word in your tongue, he knows it all together. But nonetheless, you read history, you story, and particularly even today when we consider, as we celebrate and to look into and to remember who we are. And what I mean by that is this, that whatever way in which you decide to espouse your ethnicity or your race, amen, a lot of times things, of course, there's a lot of controversy and things that go on in our world today, to the point that, again, that sometimes people, as has been said, they begin to measure people by what they see outwardly as opposed to what they are inwardly. And yet we are who God made us to be. Ain't that right? I mention it because we know that from our history, we've been through a lot. Amen. Now, you can sit there and think that you got that front seat on the bus by yourself, but you wasn't that cute. Amen. But we know that, and I'm saying it sociologically, amen. But then in our history, we had people who didn't know the Lord. Amen. Amen. And even though they didn't have access to all of the theological universities or resources, a lot of them, some of them knew Jesus. Amen. That's why you want to listen to what you're saying. We know about some of the ways in which they communicated, but let's not get too high-minded. Amen. Because the Bible teaches us that at the end, at root, that there was one cross and one blood. And if you're saved, there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Amen. Ain't that right? But I say that because God's people, and when I say God's people, I mean, again, that you're saved because you put faith in Jesus Christ. That's how you become a child of God. Let me be clear, too, again, let's know nobody get mixed up again. I know no matter what of these seven continents you originate from, you got to know Jesus in order to be a part of the child of God. Amen? But I'm saying it's because we have given to us in stories and events and occurrences where you see God in the history of his people intervene on their behalf. And the tools and the methodologies that God uses is still the same. That when God wants to communicate to his people, amen, he sends a word from the Lord. Ain't that right? Back in the Old Testament, and I can't spend all my time here because it's too much. But of course, again, since you go to the Beulah Baptist Church, and not because I'm doing it, because we study to show ourselves approved, some of the things you already know about. Ain't that right? And we already told our children about. In the Old Testament, you know that God brought his people out of Egypt, delivered them and brought them, amen, to a land of promise. You also know that the people of God acted up and God had to bring judgment upon them. God sent them into captivity. That means that the Lord, in his punishment to them, he allowed people, heathen of other lands, to come and ravage his people, both the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Are you with me now? And these people from the southern kingdom, we call Judah and a small tribe of Benjamin. Nebuchadnezzar, this king, came in, and he came in and he destroyed the things that they had. Amen. He burned to the ground the temple of God that Solomon built, that beautiful temple. And then all of those means that they used for worship, the tinsels, amen, the things that they used to serve God, the priests and the high priests used, that Nebuchadnezzar came in and he took all of them, took all the silver, took all the gold, amen, and took them back, took all of the best of the people, the best of the best, took them back to Babylon and slavery. Took them to Nebuchadnezzar, took them there, and then he took all of those vessels that were used in the service of God in God's temple, and he took them back to his temple and gave it to the temple that he had, stored them up into the temple of the idol that he worshiped, and God let him do it. But God had a plan. God told them that after 70 years, he would allow them to go back to their nativity, their homeland. He would allow them to return. It's called a post-exilic tribe. That means those who went into exile, God would allow them to go back. But this is the interesting thing about God. God used a heathen king to allow them to go back to their homeland. Are you with me here? See, they didn't have a king at the time because God, amen, their attitudes and their behavior caused God to bring them down. But God spoke to a man named Cyrus. And God spoke to this heathen. Are y'all with me here? And God let him know, even though he wasn't a believer in the true and the living God, he knew about the Lord, the God of heaven. And some kind of way, God communicated to him and let him know that at a certain time, God spoke into him and said, let my people go back. He wasn't Moses, because Moses said, let my people go to Pharaoh. But when they went into captivity, amen, and not under the power of this heathen king, God spoke to Cyrus, the king, and Cyrus said, the time is now. And God and Cyrus said, everybody who wants to go back to Jerusalem, you're free to go. You're free to go. But not only did he do that, but he also said that you can also go back with you. Excuse me, spread. I'll pay for your passage home. Not only that, but I'll take out of the treasury of my resources and I'll give you the things you need. But not only that, but also those things that Nebuchadnezzar took from you. Nebuchadnezzar was a Babylonian king. Cyrus was a king who rose to power from Persia. And he said, you can have all of those gold and silver that Nebuchadnezzar took. You can go get them and take them back and build your temple again. Y'all need to listen here today, because God, amen, he can use who he wants to use. And so they began a journey back home. And as they went back home, and I just need you to just stay with me for a moment. They got back there, and this is a man named Ezra. And Ezra was a scribe. And there was a man named Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel became the governor of the people once they got back home. And when they got back there, they began to build the temple of the Lord. They started freshly. And the first thing they did was they built an altar. Are y'all with me here? I know I ain't got all the time I want, but they built an altar. Listen to me, they didn't start with the exteriors. They didn't start with the aesthetics. They didn't try to beautify with a whole lot of stained glass and even the things that they got with the gold and the silver. No, they started with an altar, because the altar represented the worship of God. Are y'all with me here? They started all that. And then after that, they began to work on the foundation. But then, brothers and sisters, as is the case, when they went back to their homeland, it wasn't that when they went back there that there was nobody around. People back there, the Samaritans, so to speak. Samaritans were those, listen to me now, the Samaritans were those who were the result of when the northern kingdom went to captivity, not the southern, they were uprooted in their captivity and they were placed and intermingled with the heathen. So what you had was half Jew, half of another tribe. Are you with me? Half Jew. And so these Samaritans began to be a people who despised the Jews and really looked down on them and tried to, I guess, capture their heritage because they had an intermingling of Jewish people there. So when the Jews went back to their homeland, Samaritans were there. And when they saw these Jews trying to do something, trying to make something of themselves again, they first approached them, and you got to read it when you get a chance. They approached them and said, okay, what you doing? What's going on here? And they said, wait a minute, how about this? How about we come in and help y'all build this thing that you're doing here? And Zerubbabel and said to them, no, you don't have no part in this. Y'all ain't listen to me. You don't have no part in this. Watch it now. This is for us. Y'all ain't listen to me. This is for us. This is for us, God's people, who God delivered and sent back. No, this is for us. You have no part in what we're doing. And let me just give you a little sidebar here. They were not really interested, the Samaritans, in really having affinity with the Jews. They despised them. You understand? But they were trying to get inroads into what was happening. And once they were rejected, their true nature began to show itself. And what's happened is this begins now the impediment to them, you know, getting their thing together here in terms of building this temple. Are y'all following me here? Now, brothers and sisters, what you're going to see here, and I got to go ahead of myself, that anytime you try to move forward, anytime you try to get some measure of success, see, you're going to have sometimes people who try to stop you from what you're doing. And some of the means they use is confusion, controversy, consternation. That means, you know, when people try to cause you to get off your game and you start to get this feeling of dread and because of impending danger. All of these methodologies are used without even using weapons. They try to get you, amen, to, you know, get unhinged and distracted and distorted. And what happened with them was, is that after a while, this constant coming at them time and time again, over the period of years, they kept coming back with different means and using different methods. If it didn't work when they came approach them deliberately, what they would do, they would begin to try to use espionage and conspiracy. That's right. And what they would then do is this. They would begin to write letters to the king, Cyrus, back to where he was at, and say, Cyrus, you know those people who you let come back here? Did you really read about them? Don't you know, if you read up on them, they the people who did a lot of bad things to a lot of kings, how they got their reputation. And Cyrus, I'm just trying to let you know that because we honor you as King Cyrus. We're really thinking about you. We really want you to, you know, do good on your behalf, Cyrus. So we're trying to let you in on what these people are really all about. Yes, sir. Cyrus lasts for a little while. The Bible doesn't say how he responded to that. But then another king comes up, Ahasuerus. Then another king, Artaxerxes. Y'all listen to what I'm saying here, because see what they were doing, they was using these methods, brothers and sisters, to wear God's people down. See, what they did, they began to chink at their enthusiasm. their desire to do something in the name of the Lord. And so, again, they didn't raise, not here, they didn't raise weapons. No, they used a different kind of weapon. They used discouragement. They used discouragement. And so the scripture says, after a while, if you will, if you look with me here for a moment, after a while, the Bible says, that they said, now, therefore, in chapter 4, verse 23, now when the copy of King Artaxerxes' letters was read before Rehum and Shimshai, the scribe, and their companions, they went up in haste to Jerusalem unto the Jews and made them to cease by force and power. And then watch this now. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased unto the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. They succeeded in getting God's people from continually and finishing a good work. Y'all ain't listen to me. They succeeded. What they sought to do, they achieved by these methods and means, by constantly wearing them down through fear, through whispering, through using what? Through using political means to use it as a means to gainsay and to lie on them. Are you with me now? To the point that the people got not sick and tired, they just got tired. Why did I say not sick and tired? Because they wanted to do this. They wanted to do this, but they got wore out and wore down. And so the Bible says, then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, and so it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Then, y'all see chapter 5? See that first word? Then, stay with me just for a moment. There's some lessons here. Then the prophets, Haggai the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God which is at Jerusalem, and with them were the prophets of God helping them. Are y'all with me here? Come on now.